We'll maybe just look at a wee verse here in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. I just want to leave this verse with you as a text maybe for the year that lies before us. And it's God speaking to his servant Abram. Genesis 15, the very first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And that's our text, the second part of that verse. Fear not, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Most of you'll know that the book of Exodus is the book of beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we see the beginning of creation, we see the beginning of humanity, we see the beginning of sin, we see the beginning of the church, we see the beginning of the nation of Israel. And it's also not just a book of beginnings, but it's also a book of new beginnings. And we see individuals that the Lord reached down and saved and gave them a new start and gave them a new beginning. We see it in Genesis 3, whenever the Lord came and he met with Adam, and Adam had sinned along with Eve, and they'd hid from the very presence of God, and they were out of fellowship with God. And yet the Lord himself came, and he sought them and found them and called them and clothed them and reinstated them and brought them into a relationship again with himself. And for Adam, it was a new beginning. And then, a little bit later on, we see God's call to Abram. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And that was a new beginning for Abram. Adam was the father of the human race, but Abram is described in the Bible as being the father of the faithful. And he received that new beginning between Genesis 11 and Genesis chapter 12, and he enters into newness of life, a relationship with God, enters into this great pilgrim journey, and goes for this call of God in his life, and begins to make his way into a new nation that he'd never been to before. And it's one thing to begin well, but it's a much more important thing to finish well. The church at Galatia had many problems, and this was one of them. Paul said to them, O ye foolish Galatians. And he challenged them about where they were going, and he says, You've begun in the Spirit, and you're saved, and you're washed in the blood, and you've been born again, and you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, but your problem is that you've started in the Spirit, but now you're trying to continue to live the Christian life in the flesh. And they'd begun well, but they weren't just going on so well. And he had to sort out this problem, this doctrine that they'd got a hold of, that they were saved by grace, but they were kept by their works. And now we see Abram here in Genesis 15, and he's facing the unknown, a lot like the people that we considered on the Lord's Day evening. The scripture says that he went out not knowing whither he went. He was going out searching for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then God steps in again and gives him this wonderful promise and says, Abram, fear not, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. It's interesting that there's many times in this verse where words are mentioned for the first time in all of Scripture. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. And that is the very first time, as a matter of fact, that the actual word itself is mentioned in Scripture. And it has reference to the word of God. And first and foremost, Abram needed a word from God. And that's what we need in these days. We need to be in the place where we can hear God's voice and get a word from the Lord. And God came unto Abraham in a vision. And that's the first time vision is mentioned in Scripture. And God said, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. And that's the first time in Scripture we have the words, I am, in reference to the Lord. And of course, I Am is one of the great titles given to Jehovah God. And it's also one of the titles that the Savior used in reference to himself. I am the door, I am the way, the truth and the life, I am the bread of heaven, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the door, I am the gate. Many, many times he describes himself as being the I Am. And in John chapter 8, 56 and 58, he says there, before Abram was, I am. And then he spoke to the Jewish people that day and he says, your father Abram rejoiced to see my day. And I believe that whenever the Lord uttered those words, before Abram was, I am. And then your father Abram rejoiced to see my day. Brings us right back here to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, where the Lord met with Abram. And I believe that that day Abram received the word of Christ and also received a vision of Christ. And there's just three simple things I'd like to leave with you here in reference to our Savior. First of all, Christ is our peace. Fear not, Abram. And incidentally, that's the first time you have that little phrase, fear not, in Scripture. And you'll come across that many, many more times as you read through your Bible, through Genesis and Exodus. You'll come across that phrase again and again and again, fear not. That's the first time fear not is mentioned in Scripture, but it's not the first time that fear is alluded to in Scripture. The first time we see fear in the Word of God is in Genesis chapter 3, whenever God confronts Adam, and Adam says, I was afraid because I was naked. And so the reason for fear is sin. But the remedy to fear is the Savior. Fear not, Abram, I am. Fear not, Abram, I am. In the person of Christ, we have the answers to all of our fears. Now, you would think somebody like Abram, the father of the faithful, the friend of God, the great patriarch himself, the founding father under God of the nation of Israel, you would think a man like that, given what he's done in chapter 14, defeating these four kings, he's just come out of a great battle, he's received the victory, you would think a man like that would never have fears. But why would Abram be afraid? Well, human nature is prone to fear. Human nature doesn't want to trust God. Human nature wants to trust itself. Abram was also, humanly speaking, unsure of the way ahead. He went out, he left everything behind, his home, his country, his friends, his neighbors, the people he'd grown up with, his family to a large degree he'd left behind as well. And he's going out and the Bible says that he didn't know whether he went. He doesn't even know where he's going. He's looking for a city that he doesn't know where it is, and God is going to have to lead him every step of the journey. And if we're unsure of the way ahead, as we are tonight, looking into the year that lies before us, we're unsure of the way ahead, that can cause us to be fearful. He's also just fought a great battle. And even whenever we receive a great deliverance or a great victory, and God gives us the victory, sometimes rather than that filling us with confidence, it almost causes us to fear and to tremble. We see that in Elijah's life, whenever he defeated the prophets of Baal, and within a short space of time, he was hiding in a rock and he was afraid. And maybe you look over 2013 and you've proved God, and here you are tonight in this meeting, and you can look back and say, I proved God there, and God intervened there, and God stepped in there, and God helped me there, and I've just come out of this great blessing. But then you look into the future, and to think to go through a whole year again with all of its trials, with all of its adversity, and you know that God has brought you through, but you think, I'm just not sure if I could go through a year like that again. And maybe you're fearful that 2014 is not going to be easier than 2013, and you're maybe even terrified that it might even be worse. And then with Abraham, there were also the passing of years. None of us are getting any younger. Abram wasn't getting any younger. And tonight, every single one of us in this meeting, we've got one thing in common. All of us are as young as we're going to get. You'll never be any younger than you are this evening. And growing old is not for sissies. It's not for the faint-hearted. And here's Abram, and he's getting a little bit older. He's maybe getting a little bit wiser, but he's starting to feel perhaps his frailty. And he realizes as well that he doesn't have any children of his own. He's got no posterity. His wife's getting older. He's getting older. She's barren. God's given him these promises. And it seems as if the promises perhaps aren't going to be fulfilled. And then in verse number 5, God brought him forth and said, "Look toward the heaven and tell the stars." Maybe Abram was afraid as well because it was dark. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not the kind of person that needs to sleep with the light on. And the only reason for that is because whenever I'm in my bed at nights, I'm familiar with my surroundings. But you go out into a different place and you're unsure of the terrain, you're not sure of your footing, you're not sure of the direction, and it's dark. The darkness can make us to be afraid. And days of darkness in the Christian life still come over us. And yet the Lord says to Abram, "Fear not." Why? Because the Lord is with him. Christ is our peace. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. There's three types of peace. There's the peace that we can have with God. Being justified freely by his grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's a peace of God that passeth all understanding. And then there's peace with our fellow man. Christ is our peace. Christ is our protection. "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield." And again, this is the first time we have the mention of the word shield in Scripture. And God says to Abram, "I am thy shield." Many times in Scripture, God describes himself as being a shield. Now, this isn't the physical shield that Abram can actually lift and touch and use to beat off stones and rocks, but it's a spiritual shield. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not temporal. They're not tangible with our hands and with our eyes. They're not fleshly, but they're spiritual. And whenever you see a soldier with a shield, the shield always goes before him. And so what the Lord's saying to Abram here is, "Fear not, Abram. You're on this journey, and there's darkness, and there's the unknown, but I am your shield, and before everything that lies before you, I am thy shield." And we always need to remember as we enter into a new year that before us and our circumstances and the future, the great I am is there before us, and he's our shield. So everything that comes to Abram has to come by God first. Abram is as safe as God himself. That verse was quoted tonight in Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And the shepherd in Israel, he doesn't drive his flock. The shepherd in Israel goes before this flock, and the shepherd is the one that faces all of the wilderness experience, all of the beasts, all of the elements, all of the terrain before the flock does. And he'll not lead his flock into a place where he will abandon them, like the pillar of cloud and fire that went before the Israelites by day and also by night. And Christ, of course, is our forerunner. Now, Abram's going to be subject to many attacks, and so are we. The world and the flesh and the devil. But Christ is our shield. He shields us from the wrath of God. He shields us from our guilty past. He shields us from our sin. He shields us from death itself. Christ, our peace. Christ, our protection. But then lastly, Christ is our prize. "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And that's the first time that you have the word reward mentioned in Scripture. And God is saying to Abram, "Listen, Abram, I am thy exceeding great reward." Might say in the margin of your Bible there, "Thy reward shall be exceeding great." And what could be a better reward, a better prize than Christ himself, than God himself? The Apostle Paul recognized this. He says, "I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say, "I do this so that I may win Christ." And this was the thing that really challenged me through this verse, really humbled me, I have to say. And here's the application. As we think about the year that lies before us, Are we wanting all of the blessings that God can give us? Or are we just saying within ourselves, you know what? I just want the Lord. I just long for God. Sometimes we look at things, we think, well, I want all of God's blessings. But maybe God's asking us tonight, well, that's good, but do you want me? And God is reminding Abram here that the greatest prize, the greatest blessing of all, is God himself. And God not only gave his son for us, but in his son, God gives himself to us. We want our souls to be saved. We want other souls to be saved. We'd love to see pews filled. We'd love to see burdens lifted. We want to have sins forgiven. We want to have bills paid. We want to have a home in heaven. But do we really want to pursue God? We want to see sometimes what God can do. And we want sometimes God to change our circumstances. And we want God to make things better for us. And we want to see the power of God let loose and the blessing of God displayed. But do we just want God? This was the thing that really challenged me. It's like, you know, sometimes you see maybe a movie star and he's in his 80s or something, or a sporting legend or a politician, and he's absolutely loaded, and he'll go out and he'll marry somebody who's about 25 and she's a model and she's just, and you look at them and think, well, why did they get married? Did she marry him just because he's wealthy and rich and she's going to have a bit of security? Or did she marry him because of him? And as I thought about this verse, I thought, isn't that so often like ourselves? We want to be Christians and we want to know God because of all of the things that God can give us, rather than just having him and him alone. You see, a marriage like that, it'll never satisfy. It undermines him. She probably won't see as much of it as she thought she would. And it might even end in heartache and separation. But if a person gets married to a man or a woman because they want that person, and they view the person as being the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in a field. And friends, if we can just take this verse to heart tonight and say, yes, he's our peace, and yes, he's our protection, but you know, most of all, he's our exceeding great reward. As the hymn writer said, thou, O Christ, art all I want. He is our exceeding great reward. We spend so much time looking for his blessings, maybe than rather just looking for him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in this new year, may God apply these words to our hearts. And may we really discover that, yes, Christ is our peace. Fear not. He's our protection. I am thy shield. But most of all, he is our prize, our exceeding great reward. Now, according to my watch, it's about a couple of minutes past midnight, so 2013 has gone. And remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, but let's look on and look up and look forward. You might want to exchange a greeting to the person sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you. And so we'll give you opportunity to do that. Happy New Year to you all. May God bless you richly.